south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. A few days ago, my cleaning lady got all flustered. She grabbed my arm, pulled me into the bathroom, and started pointing at things. She looks down at the shower stall, then at the toilet and the sink, and she goes, "Ajax, ajax." I'm thinking, she speaks Spanish decently, but her native language is one of those Mayan indigenous languages called Cachiquel, I believe. So I'm thinking, why is she speaking to me in Cachiquel? Man, my Spanish isn't even 100%. Cachiquel? By the way, the consensus is there's around 25 indigenous languages in Central America, all because so many hundreds of years ago, there were ancient isolated Mayan tribes. And today, the ancestors of many of those tribes, who still wear the indigenous outfits on occasion, speak those languages. Sure, most of them speak Spanish too, but they prefer their indigenous language when hanging out or working together. And my cleaning lady, she speaks Cachiquel. Oh, and by the way, the last cleaning lady I had, her native language was Quiche. And you know, the older ones often speak Spanish very badly, and the younger ones know Spanish pretty well. Depends how many years they went to school. By the way, most all indigenous kids go to those crappy, decrepit public schools, and many of them out in the boonies only go for a couple of years. So at school, they'll speak Spanish, and at home, their native language, and in my maid's case, Cachiquel. And you know, to us gringos, it might as well be Klingon, because we don't understand a word of it. In fact, when you go into the markets in the little tiendas, that's tienda, by the way, with a T, tienda. That just means little shop. They'll be conversing with you in Spanish as you do your deals with them and make small talk. Then they'll say something to a fellow worker or to a guy in the tienda next door in a language you have never heard before. One of those 25 or so indigenous languages. In fact, there's one little neighborhood tienda I frequent quite a bit. Yep, no matter where you live in Latin America, you'll have your little local favorite stores too. Even though, like me, you'll probably go to one of those gigantic markets a couple times a week, even so, you're going to run out of stuff. Now, the big market I like to go to is at least 25 miles away. I find I only have to go there maybe every couple of weeks, and man, do I stock up. Anyway, there's this one particular little tienda, maybe 2 miles from the coffee fields where lately I've been doing this show. It's run by three extremely happy little indigenous guys who are joking around all the time. Now, I doubt if I was 4'9", I could be that happy. When you walk in, they're always laughing, having fun, and screwing around. And you know, they're too young to be the owners of the place, so I doubt they make the minimum wage, less than $300 a month. But still, they're just always smiling, having fun, and, well, happy. And not dumb happy either. They're smart kids. And since I'm the only gringo who's ever been in the place, how do I know that? They told me so. They joke with me too, but with extreme respect. In fact, they always greet me by saying, "Hola, doctor," or "doctorado." And when I leave, they say, "Los vemos," or "Adios, doctorado." What they're doing is great marketing, and they don't even know it. They've got no idea. Every time I come in, they automatically add the term doctor to my name just because I'm a gringo. Now, they used to add the word licenciado to my name, but I guess I've been promoted to doctor now. That's happened in the last couple months. At first, I thought they were joking with me or just making fun of me, maybe, but it started to make sense when I saw how these guys addressed other people who walked into their little store. Now, they treated their indigenous customers like friends, but when a Latino would come in, especially a Latino with a car, they'd do the same routine, kind of. And they do get a lot of Latino clients with decent cars because this little tienda is at a crossroads near a lot of upscale, gated, guarded communities. So, for example, if a young Latin lady drives up in a Honda, she gets out, walks in, buys something, or gets a recharge on her phone, the little guys will say with a big, genuine smile, "Hola, licenciada." And when she leaves, they'll say, "Nos vemos, licenciada," or "Buen día, licenciada." And if a guy pulls up with a decent car and walks in, they'll say, "Hola, licenciado." And when he leaves, "Nos vemos, licenciado," or "Buen día, licenciado." Now, you've probably heard me talk about the licenciado and licenciado thing if you've been listening to my past shows. It's a title that's very frequently used down here for people who've graduated with a bachelor's degree, an undergraduate university degree, a bachelor's degree in anything. It doesn't matter. Of course, in the States and in the first world, nobody really gives a rip about an undergraduate degree. It's nothing. And unless it's in the hard sciences, it's like a high school diploma. By the way, you heard me mention in a past show that up in the States, 40% of working adults have a bachelor's degree or better. Whereas down here in Latin America, less than 2% of people have a bachelor's degree. That's one hell of an educational disparity. And one big reason they call it the third world. I know. You're thinking university degrees don't mean crap these days. That's right. Especially bachelor's degrees, unless they're in the hard sciences. We've spoken about that before. But down here in Latin America, it doesn't matter how worthless your bachelor's degree. It doesn't matter that you're 35 years old, still living with your mother and working at Starbucks. You still got that diploma. The family's busting their buttons with pride because you're probably the first guy to ever graduate from college. In fact, down here, there's like a 40-year lag time. It's like a flashback to the 60s. However, back then in the States, if you got a bachelor's degree, it pretty much did guarantee you a decent job in your own career. And even if you did get a useless degree in psychology, sociology, art, music, or political science, you could always find a teaching job. Anyway, here in Latin America, if you get a bachelor's degree, you automatically get a formal title. And when introduced or addressed by the rest of the people who don't have degrees, that'd be the other 98% of Latin Americans, you'll be called licenciado or licenciada if you're female. And not just informal situations either. At the tienda, the gas station, even the dry cleaners. If the attendant knows you've got a bachelor's degree, you'll get addressed as licenciado or licenciada. So people with a bachelor's degree automatically are elevated to a certain social class here. And some of them are stuck up and pretentious about it, if you can believe that. Though us long-term expats laugh and call it polishing the turd. And it doesn't matter. Even if they don't have a job in their field, these bachelor's degree holders will get business cards and stationery printed up saying licenciado this or licenciado that. But I digress, as usual. The point I'm getting here is that the three little indigenous guys who address me as doctor, and they do it every time, address certain others as licenciados. So they're making a judgment call based on the way a person looks and what his car is like. Yep, they too are polishing the turd, if that's what it takes to make the customers happy, right? And believe me, when people hear that, they walk out with a little spring in their step and a big smile, especially the ones that don't have a degree and buy into that stupid licenciado crap. Is that not great marketing? And you know, within two blocks, there are three other little tiendas that sell pretty much the same stuff. And guess who gets all the business? Meanwhile, every time you walk in the store, you'll hear them joking between themselves in cachiquel or quiche or whatever. Until I walk in or another customer and they'll say, hola, doctor, or hola, licenciado. And you know what? Everyone smiles and no one ever corrects them. By the way, between these three guys, they know about 20 words of English. Naturally, it doesn't come out right, and I have a hard time not cracking up. So for them, what started as a joke, handing out exaggerated titles that almost no one has achieved, has helped their business a great deal. Because remember what I said, only 2 out of 100 people, that's 1 out of 50, has even a bachelor's degree here in Latin America. Now the point is, actually there's more than one point here. The indigenous populations in Latin America are the poorest and most downtrodden and most ignored and suppressed here in Latin America. Yet, most remain ever so happy and optimistic. And don't think for a minute these guys are dumb. They're not. And they're terrific workers. In fact, some of the best workers I've ever hired have been indigenous guys and gals. Like my cleaning lady. In fact, most of my Latin American cleaning ladies have been indigenous. Like the one that pulled me into the bathroom the other day and kept on saying, ejax, ejax. And I'm sure I gave her the dumbest kind of Rain Man look imaginable. Because I know absolutely zero words in Quiche or Cachica, whatever. Then, strangely enough, she came back the next day, sat me down in the kitchen, opened up her purse, and pulled out a can of, get this, Ajax Kitchen Cleanser. You know, Ajax? Otherwise known as Ajax. Ajax. Talk about clueless gringos. Man, 27 years and I still don't know Ajax from earwax. By the way, a can of Ajax in the hands of an indigenous cleaning lady is a double-edged sword. Because you see, if you've got a bathtub, shower, or sink that's brilliant or highly polished, she'll quickly destroy the factory sheen. You know what I mean? It's like sandpaper, right? Expat Eddie knows all about that. He had a nice big six-person jacuzzi at his house. For the first couple of months, it was nice, shiny, and brilliant looking. A couple of $1,000 worth of glassy acrylic and chrome. Well, now let's just say he keeps the cover on it all the time. Oh, and by the way, about having jacuzzis here in Latin America. Yeah, upscale Latins, you know, upper middle class and wealthy ones, often have a spa or jacuzzi, and it's always destroyed and scummy after about a year. In fact, I've had a few installed in new homes myself, and they're just like swimming pools. You end up using them for the first couple of months, and then seems like only when company's over. It's like that old saying about married life. I'm sure you've heard it. If you take a dollar, put it in a jar every time you've had sex. Do that just for the first year. Then take $1 out every time you have sex thereafter, and you'll never end up emptying that jar. I actually heard Groucho Marx say that on one of his old TV shows. Sounds depressing, huh? Not a very positive statement about married life. So is it true? Well, you tell me. But I bet you won't. Okay, moving on. I've been getting a trickle of emails from people who want me to finish off that Decameron story. Remember the one I told maybe a month or so ago? A boots-on-the-ground Decameron story from longtime listener Dave? If you remember, he and his wife bought into one of those Decameron package deals in Colombia. You know, that's the Casa Matriz of the Decameron. Casa Matriz means home base, or where the idea was born. And Gringo Dave and his Colombian wife, who live up in Canada most of the time, heard the spiel from the vendors and decided to buy into that membership club. So, after signing a contract and spending some thousands of dollars, Dave got cold feet and was having a bad case of buyer's remorse. So let's pick it up there for part two of his Decameron story. All right, Dave starts by saying, "When we last left you, Johnny, I was bravely freaking out about having blown $6,000 on a vacation plan that extended way into the future, based on a point system you utilized along the way, and I hoped to use them all if I lived long enough. So after arriving back in Gringolandia, that would be Detroit, called the happiest place on earth, you know." That was our first stop on the way back. And experiencing a pleasant 30 degrees Celsius temperature change, that's 90 degrees Fahrenheit, we made our way back home to Canada. All the while, but without much hope, I began wondering if there might be some way to get out of that Decameron agreement. Maybe some kind of buyer's remorse clause, like with the old vacuum cleaner salesman back in the day? At this point, 24 hours had already passed since we signed, so I figured I was probably out of luck. But when I pulled the contract out, lo and behold, there was a derecho de retrato, right of withdrawal or retraction clause. All right, it's me, Johnny, again. Now, if you're buying a cell phone, for example, or doing a contract for an internet service, if there is such a clause, it just might be called a reclamo. Reclamo. Like, for example, it might say, tiene cinco días por reclamos, meaning you have 5 days to get out of or dispute the contract. So it's called derecho de retrato or reclamo. And note that the word reclamo sounds a lot like reclaim. So even if your Spanish sucks, you can check a contract to see if that word's in there. Then Dave goes on to say, better yet, we had 5 days to invoke this right. And a man of action that I am, I immediately asked my wife to call the hotel and see if we could get our money back. We had the direct number, so my wife called and explained that we wanted to cancel, but was told there was nothing they could do at the hotel. We'd have to contact the head office in Bogota. And so it began. She called Bogota, details were recorded, and my wife was told that someone would call her back. Sure thing, right? This is Latin America. I figured they were just trying to run out the 5-day clock on us. But lo and behold, the very next day, someone did call back. All told, we were called back 4 times. Each time, they would either try to persuade us to continue with the original deal or offer us some kind of different spin on it. Seems like they'd try anything to hang on to all that money or at least our $1,800 deposit. None of the new offers, however, interested us, and my wife reiterated that we really did want all that money back. Okay, it's me, Johnny, again. Now, remember, she's doing all that in Spanish because, you know, Decameron is a Spanish all-inclusive hotel chain. So good luck trying to pull some of this stuff off yourself unless you've hired a bilingual translator. So then, after going through all that on the phone and exhausting all of their tricks, they finally agreed to return the deposit, but they said they could not credit my credit card. They would have to transfer the funds to a bank account, a Colombian bank account only. Fortunately, my wife still maintains an account in Colombia, and by now, 4 days had passed. And all the while, I'm thinking in the back of my mind, this is Latin America, and they said, I've got 5 days to do this. Yep, I'm thinking, the clock is ticking. That said, as an energized, first-world, enterprising, high-powered gringo businessman, at least that's how we're viewed in Latin America, I took charge and told my wife, we didn't have much time to get this done. We have to do this right the first time, or surely the lo siento, señores, no lo puedo will follow. So I did what any first-world gringo would do. I instructed my wife to write a letter with all the details, point by point. Be sure to say this, say that, and that. This is what we said and so forth, and to show me the draft of the whole thing before sending. Though I'm somewhat embarrassed to say that when my wife came back a half hour later, she had written up a very professional letter, better than I could have done, especially since it was all in Spanish. She wrote it with all the necessary facts in the perfect, complimentary, flowery, and formal style used for communication business letters in Latin America. They're not quite like your standard English business letter, you know. In fact, I have to compliment my wife on her patience and her handling of the matter. She stood her ground and didn't budge an inch through the whole process, even as they hit her with everything they could to try to talk her out of canceling. Though I shouldn't have been surprised, my wife had worked for 15 years in administrative positions at the largest bank in Colombia and was used to investigating and resolving customer complaints and corporate matters. Just a touch of my gringo arrogance, I guess. It's easy to forget she's more than competent in her native country and language, since up in Canada, I'm the guy that handles those kinds of transactions. So then, letter in hand, we signed a copy with banking details to Bogota via email, called to confirm that they'd received it, and we were told the money would be transferred within 30 days. I didn't hold my breath, though. But sure enough, before 30 days were up, we did have the money back in our account. What a sigh of relief. So in the end, I'd have to say that despite not going through with that Decameron membership, it was a valuable experience. We were treated friendly enough, and they were competent and professional enough. How could we complain? We did get our money back. I guess for me, the sticking point was that I'm still going to have to work for another 5 years at least and have only a few weeks per year for vacations. So the deal really didn't make sense. Guess I jumped the gun. And despite that the membership was more expensive than it was a few years ago, as you mentioned on your previous shows, I still think people with time and flexibility could make a very good option out of it. Anyhow, so much for this cautionary tale, and I hope it has some value to your listeners. By the way, our next trip will be to Guatemala in February 2017, but not at the Decameron. Cogelo suave, Johnny. Signed, Dave. Well, thanks for that, Dave, and I'm going to post the contracts, etc., and the Multi Vacaciones Decameron Club Plan up on my YouTube channel, so when the show comes out on YouTube, people can see what some of that paperwork looks like. All right, speaking about money-back guarantees in Latin America, it's very, very, very difficult to find a place that'll give you your money back, no questions asked. Now, that's not to say if you're buying a product, you can't get an in-store credit, because there are plenty of places, especially first world franchise clothing stores and hardware stores and such, Sears, Costco, Walmart, that have a week or 2 week or even a month return policy, but you only get an in-store credit. Like I said, it's almost impossible to actually get physical money back. And there are some good and not so good reasons for it. First off, money-back guarantees are new to Latin culture. They were brought down as policy with the first world franchises, starting with Sears, Office Depot, Ace Hardware, Costco, and Walmart. And so the other stores, the local competition, have pretty much had to fall in line, but they have done so kicking and screaming, believe me. And they'll try to get out of it any way they can. So When you're buying anything, especially big ticket items like appliances, computers, TVs, or cell phones, check out the return policy. It'll almost always be posted near the checkout or cashier. And sometimes when it comes to first world franchise clothing stores like Guess, Tommy Hilfiger, or Forever 21, Forever 21's everywhere here too, they'll have the return policy printed right on the receipt. Now, like I mentioned before, one of the reasons you don't get your money back is because when you get that factura, that's what they call receipts down here, facturas, every Latin country includes its IVA or VAT on those facturas. Anyway, depending on the country, they're collecting from 10 to 22% on everything you buy, and that goes directly to the government. That's why if you return an item, they can't give you back the cash because they already gave the tax part of it to the government. Can you imagine the reams of paperwork and time and effort it would take to get some kind of a refund on an item from the government? That's not going to happen. So even if a seller or a company wanted to give your money back, if they did, they'd be dipping into their own pockets for the VAT part, which already went to the government. You can see the problem there, I'm sure. By the way, just the other day, I went to one of the big three phone companies in Latin America. That would be Claro, C-L-A-R-O. Owned, by the way, by the richest man in Latin America. That would be Carlos Fatboy Sim, not Slim. You see, I was helping out a gringo who bought a phone a couple of days earlier, and the volume wasn't working correctly on it. This guy's an ex-rock and roller, and he's kind of deaf, and he needs to have some decent volume on his phone. Now, this guy bought an 18-month smartphone contract, and when you do that down here, they give you a choice of a free phone. And the free phone you get depends on how much you spend per month on the plan. And of course, I believe, like the States, you can always upgrade by paying a little more for a different kind of phone. Anyway, this guy needed to change his phone, and it said right in the contract he had 5 days to make a reclamo. Remember that word, reclamo. That would be to resolve complaints or claims. Well, you know what? We sat in that Claro store for 2 hours. The customer service guy trying to say there was nothing wrong with the phone, and me arguing that, well, doesn't matter. He's got 5 days to make a claim, and he wants a new phone. After a while, knowing that we weren't getting anywhere, I did what most gringos do. I started raising my voice and stand up, pace a bit, and ask to see the manager, who I could see right through the glass window in the cubicle next door. Nope, she didn't want a scene, therefore didn't want to deal with me. So during that visit, the sales guy made 3 different stops into the manager's office, going back and forth with this thing. And meanwhile, I kept asking for the manager. And I kept pointing to the contract that said 5 days for reclamo. And it was the 3rd day, by the way. So for a while, the guy kept insisting there was nothing wrong with the phone. It worked fine. Yes, it did work, but not near loud enough for our rock and roller who blew his ears out at a Megadeth concert, or was it Ozfest? Can't remember. Anyway, for a while, the salesman would only bend enough to say that he would ship the phone to the technical department and have them look at it. Maybe he could crank up the volume. And I said, nope, look at the contract, 5 days reclamo, give me the manager. Kept on interrupting him and repeating it, which is a very un-Latin thing to do. Gets everyone's attention. Kind of a gringo thing, you know. You longtime listeners probably remember in a past show, I mentioned a good friend of mine has been barred from entering a certain Latin government immigration office because he'd just blow up every time. They kept promising him for months that his residency card was ready, and every time he went down, it just wasn't. And finally, they did come through with the card, but advised him that he was persona non grata in that office. Yep, it's a gringo thing, I know. We do get extremely frustrated because we're so used to getting things done quickly up in the first world. It's something that most of us get over, but some of us never do. So yes, some gringos are banned from certain establishments altogether. Now, I haven't been so far, but I've had a few close calls. Now, my friend doesn't mind me telling this story. In fact, he says, go ahead. In fact, we visit his factories on the Expat Insider Tour. So in the end, my little visit to the phone company Claro with my gringo friend seemed to be ending in kind of a stalemate. But finally, as tensions began to rise and I noticed some of the floor walkers, you know, guys with the suits, they're supposed to be security guys, started circling the area, the big boss, the woman who never came out of her cubicle, finally allowed my buddy to select another phone model. Now, the one that was short on volume, the one he was bringing back, was an LG. So he checked out a Motorola and a Samsung and a Hawaii, if that's how you pronounce it. And that's what he went with, the Hawaii. made by a nice solid Chinese company, right? Well, at least they don't try to hide it like Apple and their iPhones and everyone else who always like to say their stuff was designed in the US and only assembled in China. So bottom line, remember, unlike Dave's case, which is certainly rare, it's very improbable that you'll ever get your actual cash money back. Hey, don't whine. It's 10 times better than it was some years ago when anytime you bought anything, it was simply buyer beware. And if you were lucky, or I should say unlucky, and your product malfunctioned even on the very first day, they still wouldn't give you a new one. They'd send it to tech repair and you'd have to wait a couple of weeks. In fact, that happened to be about 10 or so years ago. I bought a brand new TV and got it home and the remote didn't work. So being that I purchased it towards the end of the day, after dark, I decided to come back the next afternoon, and I did, and they said, okay, no problem. Give us the TV and the remote, and we'll send it to tech repair. What? So there it sat for a couple of weeks, and I had to keep calling them because they're certainly not going to tell you when it's done. That's the other thing about being in Latin America. It's really maybe a 50-50 shot that when someone says they're going to call you back on, let's say, a service repair item like that, they're actually going to call you. So you're going to have to follow up on everything. You're going to have to be your own secretary and their secretary too. By the way, that includes your Latin lawyer. If you send him an email and don't get a response in a day, you send him another one, don't get a response in a day or two, send him a text message. Or if you want to play hardball, just say you're looking around for another lawyer who actually answers emails. Oh, and by the way, the modern equivalent of, oh, I'm sorry, it must have got lost in the mail. Remember that one along with telling your creditors that the check's in the mail? Of course, the modern version of that is, oh, it somehow slipped into my spam box. Well, that'll work as an excuse once, maybe twice. But everyone should be checking their spam boxes. I do once or twice a week and find the occasional bona fide, odd, real email stuck in there, mixed in with all the Nigerian lotteries that I won. Oops, we're getting towards the end of the show now. Remember, if you want to get on the early bird list for my July 2017 Expat Insider Seminar, it's a great way to get your boots on the ground and get a good glimpse of what I'm always talking about on the show. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, to get on my preferred mailing list. Remember, there'll be a maximum of 25 people, and that'll be it. So email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Of course, the best way to get your Plan B started if you haven't got any boots on the ground yet is to check out my Expat Essentials course. Go to expatplanb.com and learn how to get all your ducks lined up. If you don't have a plan by now, you better get started. Don't wait till the last minute. Don't wait till the next shoe drops, because it won't be pretty.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.